scanning the walls and the ceilings, even the blinds and the pictures. And I'll let you have more as soon as I do. I'm going to check this place for bugs and then get to work. And, you know, take advantage of the fucking yacht you're on. Only for you could trouble end up looking like a luxury holiday for the rich and famous. If it makes you feel any better, I'd rather be back in the city. You're an idiot. Shut up and get to work. I hung up and threw the phone on the bed as I worked my way around the room. My pulse steadied when my initial inspection found nothing. I checked the switches and sockets to see if any looked as if they'd been tampered with recently. I moved on to the smoke detector. Nothing. Apparently air fresheners and mobile phone chargers were often a prime place to put surveillance devices, but nothing was plugged in where it shouldn't be. I changed out of my suit and into a shirt and shorts. It would be the first time I worked a deal in casual clothes, or from a sun lounger, or while being served cold drinks by a woman as beautiful as Avery Walker. None of that mattered. Nothing and no one was going to distract me from saving my business and weeding out my hidden enemies.
Chapter 5. Avery. The crew had gathered in the galley, and their focus turned to me as I wandered in after showing Hayden Wolfe down to his room. "He seems happy," was all I could say in response to their obvious anxiety about such an unusual charter. He'd seemed to relax a little when we were downstairs. My skin still tingled from where he'd touched me as he tried to reassure me that I needn't fuss. My family always told me off for fussing, but guests normally enjoyed it. They paid for it, after all. "I'll get him a drink when he's finished unpacking."
"No fucking phones or computers, Avery," Neil said.
"Right," I replied. There was nothing I could say. Neil and I had worked a few seasons together, and he knew me well enough to know that I'd be pissed about the lack of phone, but I wasn't about to lose it when August and Skylar were around. We needed to focus on the positive. "He might calm down after a couple of days. Otherwise, I'm sure the inconvenience will be reflected in our tip. I would just have to go to shore regularly to call home." "Something's off with this guy," August said as she polished a wine glass to a high shine. "I mean, who comes aboard a yacht in a suit, even if he did look hot as hell?" I stared at her and placed a finger over my mouth. We were in the galley, which was only a few feet away from the formal dining room. I could normally hear guest footsteps a mile away, but I was taking nothing for granted where Hayden Wolfe was concerned. "What?" she whispered. "You've got to admit he's weird. Hot, but weird."
"He's just British," Skylar said. "Right?"
She turned to me for confirmation. "They're all a bit stuffy, but let me tell you, they can normally drink like they're going for gold at the Liquor Olympics."
"Husband material?"
August asked Skylar. "Maybe. I mean, he's off the charts hot, and he's rich, so that's 2 out of 3. Skylar replied.
"He's not husband material," I interrupted, "because he's a guest, and that trumps any list of husband qualities. Skylar wants a rich, good-looking husband who isn't an asshole. The guy's not going to live on the yacht. Surely guests are fair game once the charter's over."
August said. "No one should even be thinking of guests in that way," I interjected. "Let's focus on the job." I wasn't sure if I was trying to convince them or me. Speaking of the job, he did tell me he liked whiskey. I tried to catch Neil's eye as he pulled vegetables from the refrigerator. He'd been in a bad mood since the captain announced that Hayden Wolfe wasn't going to be filling in a preferences sheet, setting out what he liked in terms of food, drink, and activities, and I thought the news that Hayden liked to drink would cheer him up.
"Did he say anything about food?"
Neil asked. "Just that he sometimes likes steak and sometimes fish." Neil rolled his eyes and went back to sorting through the vegetables that were on the counter in front of him. "I get the impression he's not fussy," I said.
"Bullshit,"
Neil muttered. No doubt he'd had food sent back too many times to believe any guest on a yacht wasn't fussy. "We'll figure it out." I was totally bullshitting. Usually the preferences sheet gave a lot away about how demanding or fussy guests were going to be. Some ran to 50 pages, others were just 10, but in 7 years of yachting, I'd never been without one completely.
I'll ask him again when I get him a drink later.
Ask him to fill in the freaking preferences sheet?
Eric chimed in. He clearly thinks he's too good to do paperwork and expects us to read his mind.
Crew tempers always flared during a season. It was inevitable living and working in such close quarters and being under so much pressure to please demanding guests. Yachting could make a jerk out of Jesus, but we were usually a few charters in before signs of strain began to show. We hadn't even started yet, and I was already wondering how I could last the next 5 months.
And I don't get why we couldn't pick him up at the marina. Why did he come in from an obscure harbor? Is he Batman or something?
Eric asked. The privacy thing, I guess, I replied. They were being unfair to our new guest. I'd had people come in on tenders before.
Yeah, but only allowing you and the captain on the bedroom floor is one thing. But did you know that we can't have provisions delivered to the yacht? Not fresh vegetables or flowers or anything?
Neil sliced into an onion as he spoke.
We have to get someone to collect it every time.
Really? I asked. That was unusual. Even though we're going to be moored offshore for the entire 8 weeks of this charter? I cringed as I spoke, and Neil started to laugh. I shouldn't have brought it up, because Eric had been mad as hell when he learned that we wouldn't be going into dock for 8 weeks, and I didn't want to aggravate him. He and his team were going to have to do overnight shifts on anchor watch to ensure the anchor didn't drag and we didn't crash into anything. Eric just muttered and folded his arms. It really wasn't a great way to start a season.
We'll loosen him up.
August grinned, and I shot her a look. I'd gotten used to sizing new crew members up quickly. August was clearly a girl who liked to have fun. I just hoped she understood where the line was.
I know, she said, rolling her eyes. No touching, no thinking about him in the wrong way. Doesn't mean I can't flirt a little, though, right? I mean, we want a good tip, don't we?
August and Skylar were complete opposites, but both beautiful. August had boobs I would die for, raven black hair, and a very loud voice. Skylar, on the other hand, was calmer, with nearly white blonde hair, a button nose, and a wide smile. I'd seen pictures of her Norwegian family taped up on the wall by her bed, and they were all impossibly good-looking.
I think we just need to concentrate on service rather than flirting, I said.
Maybe flirting is part of the service, August said, and she and Skylar laughed.
Excuse me.
A male voice interrupted. I whipped my head around to see Hayden Wolf de-suited, though I didn't let my eyes take in whether he was every inch as hard-bodied and bronzed as I'd imagined he might be.
Sorry, sir. What can I get you?
I was all business.
Is it possible to get some water? Tap is fine.
In my 7 years in this business, no one had ever asked me for tap water. He could probably have had perfectly pure water from an Arctic glacier flown in if he'd wanted. I found I kinda liked the idea of an unfussy guest. It would make a change.
Can I get you ice and lemon with that?
However it comes,
he said, and he turned and headed back toward the dining room. There was something compelling about him clearly having so much money, but not expecting his every whim catered for. What had made him that way? Did he have a family that kept his feet on the ground, or was it something else that made him modest?
Wow, he's so good-looking, August said. And you were flirting with your yes, sir, and can I get you lemon with that? She said in a ridiculous voice. So why can't I?
I was not flirting. I was being polite. There's a difference. I reached for a highball from the cupboard above the counter. Had I been flirting? Not consciously, but I'd never had to worry about my reactions to a guest before. I'd have to watch myself with this guy. My friends had always teased me for having quirky taste in men, but I'd never liked traditionally handsome guys. I truly believed that what was on the inside shone through, which was why I couldn't figure out why I'd found myself drawn to Hayden when he arrived. Maybe there was more to him than a pretty face, and there was something deeper pulling me in. I took a step toward the sink and ran the tap, ensuring the water was cold. The boyfriends I'd had in high school had won me over with their sense of humor or passion. Hayden Wolf had me noticing him. It didn't make any sense. I knew nothing about him, and the little I had picked up left me with more questions than answers. After adding ice and a wedge of lemon, I took Hayden's drink up to the sun deck, where he had settled on one of the loungers with his laptop and a notepad. "Tap water with ice and lemon," I announced as I set his drink on the side table, and then felt ridiculous. I wasn't serving up a 3-star Michelin meal. He pushed up his sunglasses and squinted at me, smirking.
"Thank you."
"You're welcome. Is there anything else you need?" His gaze flickered down to my mouth and back up to look at me.
"I'm good, thanks."
He held my gaze a little too long, and I looked away and over the water, facing the May breeze, hoping it would cool the blush I could feel creeping up my face. "It's going to be a beautiful day. Let me or one of the deck crew know if you want a jet ski out, or what was this guy going to do without any friends?" I glanced back at him, and he was still watching me, almost as if he were analyzing me.
"Thanks,"
he said as he blinked and then pointed at his laptop.
"I've plenty to do."
Crap, had I been interrupting him? Of course. I turned and left him to his mobile office. As I got into the main salon, Captain Moss was waiting for me. His hands in his pockets, he coaxed me over with a nod of his head.
"I want you to check out the bedrooms if you get a chance when our guest's not in them," he said. "I want to make sure he's not doing anything he shouldn't be. You know I won't stand for anything that might put my license at risk."
"You think we should be worried?" Captain Moss shrugged.
"Some of his requests are unusual. We just need to take precautions. I'm not going to worry until I have reason."
I slid my hand over my key ring stored at my waist, my fingers finding the keys to his bedroom and office. "I'll go now to do a refresh. He won't have had the chance to get fully settled yet."
"Come find me when you're done."
"Yes, sir." Captain Moss swept out and I headed back to the galley. "Can you make a start in the laundry room?" I asked August. "And Skylar, please set the table for lunch, and then find Mr. Wolf in about 20 minutes to see if he needs anything. I'm going to check the bedroom floor now that the suitcases are in." We always refreshed towels, toilets, and sinks after guests had freshened themselves up on arrival, so that's what I'd do. And then if he caught me, I'd just tell him there'd been a misunderstanding about the key situation. I headed toward the stairs, my heart thumping. It wasn't as if I was doing anything wrong. The captain had asked me to check things over. Even if I didn't find anything, I might get a clue as to why someone wealthy enough to charter a boat like this would happily drink tap water and didn't bother to tell us his food or drink preferences. How someone that good-looking could be in this Mediterranean paradise alone. Even if he was working, didn't he want to have dinner with someone? I'd never come across rich men who didn't have attractive girls happy to spend time with them. I grabbed a couple of clean towels and some cleaning wipes from the laundry room. As I got to the bottom floor, I held my breath and listened up the stairs to see if anyone was coming. The distant sound of the dryers in the laundry room was the only thing I could make out. I pulled out my keys and unlocked the door to the master suite. I glanced around and couldn't see anything out of place. It looked like it had when I'd shown him into the room. Except, where was all his stuff? I opened the drawers by his bed. There were a couple of notebooks in the top and some old-fashioned manila files and a tablet in the bottom drawer. I shut the drawer and headed toward the closet. He'd unpacked and hung everything up neatly, including the suit he'd arrived in. I straightened out the hangers, an earthy masculine smell winding itself around me. He seemed to have yacht-appropriate clothes, so I had no idea why he might have arrived in a suit, even if it did fit him as well as it did. Maybe he'd had a really early breakfast meeting? I checked the drawers and found nothing but his underwear. I lifted the suitcases that were stacked to one side, but they seemed empty. After checking the bathroom and seeing nothing that would concern the captain, I swapped out the hand towels, wiped the sink, and did a final scan of the room. There was a book by his bed. It wasn't any request from Captain Moss that made me look closer. The Martian. An old photograph being used as a bookmark peeked out from the top. Intrigued, I slid my finger through the pages to reveal the entire picture, peering closer. It was a smiling family, lined up with their arms around each other's shoulders, with some trees in the background. Two teenagers at one end of the picture, then their parents. One of the boys was Hayden, his hair slightly floppier than he wore it now,
his body a little less filled out, but still handsome. He must have been 18 or 19. The boy next to him, who must be his brother from the chin and the nose, wore a crew cut. I couldn't help but smile at the happy scene. There was nothing cold or mysterious about the younger Hayden, nothing private in his huge smile. I snapped my head around at a creak from the staircase and held my breath. August and Skylar knew they shouldn't come down here. I replaced the book and scurried to the door to listen. It must have just been an odd sound of the boat. I reached out for the door handle so I could leave before I got caught, but froze at the sound of a man clearing his throat on the other side of the bedroom door. Shit! We were only a few hours into this charter, and our guest might be about to leave. I glanced over my shoulder. For a second, I considered hiding in the closet, but that would just get me into more trouble. The jangle of the keys on the other side of the walnut divide meant there was no going back. I pulled open the door and came face to face with Hayden Wolfe.
Chapter 6. Hayden. I hadn't been on this boat a full hour, and already things weren't working out. I'd given specific instructions that these rooms down here were to remain locked, and that I should have the only keys. "What are you doing down here?" I snapped at Avery, trying to stay calm, but my fingernails were digging into my palms. Avery swallowed and bowed her head in a gesture that in any other situation I might have found arousing. But right now I wanted answers.
"I'm sorry. I was just checking you had everything you needed. Providing fresh towels, freshening up your room. That's all."
She lifted her arms to show me the hand towel I'd used once that she was grasping. "Everything I needed? What I need is privacy. People keeping out of my business." Should I just pack my bags and leave? I glanced behind her at my room. What had she been doing in there? I'd taken so many precautions. "Why are you snooping?"
"Mr. Wolfe, it's my job to make sure you have 7-star service on this yacht. I take that responsibility seriously."
"But what I requested was privacy. You told me I had the only keys."
"You do, but of course I have a set. I don't count. I'm invisible if I'm doing my job. I'm here to get you what you want before you realize you need it, to anticipate your desires. I'm not going to wait to be asked to change your towels or empty your trash. I'm not doing my job if you're focusing on anything other than what an incredible time you're having."
I sucked in a deep breath. She might have passion for what she did, but it wasn't what I'd asked for. "I'm going to have an incredible time if I can get my work done privately, without having to be worried that the requests I make aren't being adhered to." She winced, as if ignoring the wishes of a guest was actually painful to her. She looked contrite and seemed genuine, but I'd lost confidence in my ability to judge people.
"I'm sorry if I've done anything that you didn't want me to. And if it was up to me, I would be happy to give you my key. But if you want to stop me from having access to your room, then we need to speak to Captain Moss."
The last thing I expected was for her to suggest we go to her boss. "You're saying he insists you change my towels before I notice them?"
"No, he leaves that stuff to me. But he'll have different concerns. He's in the wheelhouse."
She led the way upstairs, and I tried not to notice the way her near-perfect bottom filled out her khaki skirt. Any other time in my life, if I'd been faced with a woman as beautiful as Avery Walker, especially one who said she wanted to anticipate my desires, she would have been naked and pinned underneath me within 30 minutes of meeting her. I got the impression Avery didn't realize how alluring and sexy she was. It kind of oozed out of her in every step she took, every movement. But I wasn't about to lose my focus over Avery Walker. I wanted to know what these concerns of Captain Moss were, and why the hell my simple request for privacy had been ignored. Avery knocked, then waited for Captain Moss to answer before opening the door. He might not be in the Royal Navy, but there was a very clear chain of command. We took 2 steps up into a bright, semicircular room overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. Captain Moss's eyes slid from Avery to me. Mr. Wolf, is everything all right? Avery clasped her hands behind her back and glanced at me. When I didn't speak, she explained. Mr. Wolf found me refreshing his room and is concerned that I have a key, she said, and shook her head, pressing her full lips together. Captain Moss nodded. I see. He either wasn't surprised or was well used to keeping his emotions in check. Do I need to be concerned? He asked Avery.
Not from what I saw, she replied.
I'd lost the train of this conversation. It sounded as if Avery had been searching my room. I thought I was clear that two rooms needed to be secure and that I was to have the only set of keys, I said. Well, I'm sure you want Avery to be able to do her job. And even if you didn't, there's no way I can be shut out of any room on this yacht. Let me explain, the captain said, gesturing to banquette seating at a small, polished oval table overlooking the ocean. I took a seat, careful as always not to let my frustration show. Captain Moss took a seat the other side of the table. As captain, I'm subject to an enormous amount of regulation. A room I do not have access to, whether that's directly or through my chief stewardess, is not acceptable. What happens on this boat is my responsibility. You're saying that you snoop on all your guests? Absolutely not. And it is not our intention to snoop on you. As chief stewardess, Avery has a set of keys so she can do her job and ensure you have the best possible stay. I've worked with her before and she's as straight as a die. I trust her completely. But I asked her to see if we needed to be worried about anything. You bring drugs on board this boat and I'm out of a job. Drugs? I asked. Did I look like I did drugs? Was my suit a little too loud? As an example, anything illegal. I'm not doing anything illegal. Surely you understand how your repeated requests for the utmost privacy go beyond what we've come to expect and, as such, raised our suspicions, the captain said. I blew out a breath. I wished I was here to kick back and relax, that I didn't give a shit about the locked doors and couriered packages that I'd begin to receive. Jesus, they'd really think I was dealing drugs when that started. And I don't mean I just wouldn't get to captain this boat. I would lose my license and my career would be over. The stakes are too high for me to take unnecessary risks. I knew that feeling. I was staring at the very real possibility of my business burning to the ground if I didn't make the next 8 weeks count. I'd had Moss thoroughly vetted along with all the crew. His reputation was beyond reproach and was the reason I chose the Athena. He was just showing me the extent of his integrity. I'm not here to do anything illegal. I'm here to work. Being as successful as I am makes me a target for people who want to know things before I want them public, and I'm taking every precaution, I explained. I glanced at Avery, whose whole body seemed to sag with relief, although her expression remained the same. She had a veneer of personable professionalism, but I had a feeling that what lay beneath was worth getting to know. I run a financial services business, I continued. The regulator would shut me down if I took part in anything illegal. I understand, but I have to take precautions in the same way I'm sure you do. Captain Moss glanced at Avery. Rest assured, you're in trustworthy hands. If you don't feel comfortable with anyone else, you can completely count on Avery. I nodded, understanding Captain Moss's position. But I no longer believed I could completely count on anyone other than my brother, although I wasn't about to say that. I have nothing to hide from you, but I have good reason to need to keep my business affairs private. Perhaps we can reach a solution that works for both of us. As you requested, Avery is the only member of crew permitted on the bedroom floor and the only crew member to have access to keys to the bedrooms. You have my reassurance on that. And Avery's. Avery nodded.
Absolutely. I've already informed the rest of the crew that I'm the only one to go down there.
You vetted her. You know she's trustworthy. If the only thing you don't want her to see is your computer and some papers, I can assure you that she's not going to be looking at anything like that. When cleaning, she won't touch anything on your desk, and you'll be able to tell if she does, right? Captain Moss seemed reasonable, and he was right. Everyone on this yacht had been vetted by Landon. I could definitely leave my papers in a way that it was obvious to tell if they'd been disturbed, and I really didn't have anything else to hide. I want to be clear that she doesn't touch my desk. At all. Not even to clean it. If anything's moved, then I'll be extremely disappointed. I could leave highly sensitive things in my briefcase.
I won't touch a thing on your desk, Mr. Wolfe. You can be assured of that.
Her breathy voice and her desperation to please me was too much, and I found myself softening. And I want you to have the key on you at all times. No setting it down where someone else could pick it up, I said, trying to keep my tone terse. Avery nodded.
No problem. I always keep it attached to my belt.
She pulled out a jangle of keys from her waist that seemed to be on a retractable keyring. Well, that's agreed then. I patted the table with my palm before standing. I don't want any deviations from this plan without my express permission. Absolutely, and thank you for your understanding, Captain Moss said as he shook my hand. I liked the loyalty and trust Moss had shown Avery, and the mutual respect they clearly had for each other. It seemed genuine, and I knew it was hard to find. That had me taking a risk on them. I hoped this time I was right to trust my instincts, and put my faith in Avery Walker.
Chapter 7. Avery.
You expecting it to do a little dance?
Chef Neil asked, lifting his chin toward the boiling kettle. I'd been staring into space, trying to figure out how I was going to make it to shore as often as I could to call my dad. I snapped back to reality, grinned at Neil, and poured hot water into the French press. Clearly taking my time waking up this morning, I replied.
Shame our guest doesn't have the same problem.
Right? What time did he come up? I asked, nodding my head at the door of the galley toward the main deck where Hayden was sitting.
No idea. I got here about 10 minutes before you. He was on his laptop already by then.
He wasn't kidding about it being a working vacation. I guess that's what sober guests do. Neil groaned. Hayden had drunk half a glass of wine with dinner, but there'd been no tempting him with more, and he'd declined an after-dinner whiskey. At least there were no complaints about the food, I said. He'd cleared his plate, and I kinda liked the lack of fuss. I imagined him and his brother around his parents' kitchen table doing the same thing when his mom served up meatloaf or something. It must be his family that kept him grounded.
There weren't many compliments either.
Neil, like most chefs, was sensitive about the dishes he prepared, and as his friend, I hated seeing him lack confidence because his cooking was amazing. Honestly, he is British, and you know they can be more reserved about this stuff, and I think maybe he's not focused on food. Given Hayden Wolfe's insistence that he didn't have any food preferences, I was pretty sure that Neil could serve up mac and cheese and Hayden Wolfe would be happy with it. He didn't seem like the typical spoiled millionaire who would order lobster or caviar just because they could, then inevitably waste it because they were too drunk, which led to them grabbing my ass, also just because they could. I pushed down the plunger of the cafetiere. Mr. Wolfe didn't seem as entitled as most guests, wasn't interested in exercising his power by telling us all how high he wanted us to jump.
It just makes my job so much harder.
I was going to try to coax a little more information from our mysterious guest so I could keep him and Neil happy. Do you want me to take that? August asked as she came into the galley, tucking her polo shirt into her skirt. No, it's fine. I've got it, I replied. I was more than happy to take him coffee. Maybe he'd decided to take off his shirt. Not that I'd check him out or anything. He's such an asshole. Thank God there's only one of him and that he didn't bring any friends, August said. I didn't like the way the rest of the crew were so hard on him. we always were with guests, but Hayden had done little to deserve it. He wasn't making our lives hell in the way that some guests did. I raised my eyebrows. What's got you in such a bad mood?
Nothing. I just heard he shouted at you yesterday, she said.
I glanced up at Neil. Had the two of them been gossiping? The galley was the center of the boat, and the chef always knew more than anyone else about what was going on. It was a misunderstanding, I said. I knew Hayden's frustration wasn't directed at me personally. It wasn't him being spoiled.
If he shouts at me, I'll shout back,
August replied in a sing-song voice.
I don't care how rich you are. You should treat people with respect.
I tilted my head. If you shout at a guest for any reason, I'll fire you. Hayden Wolf hadn't exactly shouted, and even if he had a reason to be pissed. She rolled her eyes. This was August's second season, and frankly, I wasn't sure she had the even temper required to be interior crew on a superyacht. Hopefully, if I led by example, I'd be able to knock some of the rough edges off her. I'm serious, August. The guests who can afford yachts like this tend to be under a tremendous amount of pressure. If they lose their temper from time to time, it's our job not to react. She shrugged, but didn't argue. Get started on the laundry, please, I said, picking up the tray of coffee and heading up the staircase to where Mr. Wolf sat on the main deck. Good morning, sir. Coffee, juice, the Financial Times, and the Wall Street Journal, I said as the door slid open. I bent and put the tray on the table beside his chair, glancing at him to check his reaction. With his muscular, bronzed legs and slightly curly hair that had seemed straighter yesterday, he looked like any other guest. I couldn't imagine he took much care in shopping for clothes, and given the way he'd reacted to me offering to unpack for him yesterday, it seemed unlikely he had a stylist or someone to buy them for him. Perhaps his expensively rumpled linen shirt, which was still on, unfortunately, and French blue shorts had been bought by a girlfriend.
"Because I'm British,"
he asked, indicating the Financial Times. Clearly, he wasn't a morning person. "No, sir. We have that on board for all our guests." He slid his laptop to the end of the lounger.
"You don't need to call me sir. Hayden is just fine."
"I was wondering," I said, tucking the tray under my arm. "Chef Neil would really appreciate some guidance on your food preferences. Is there anything in particular you'd like to see on the menu?"
"I was serious yesterday when I said I don't mind."
Neil was climbing the walls with this guy's lack of concern about mealtimes, and I hated to see him so stressed. I glanced out over the water. The haze of the sun sitting on the horizon blurred the coastline, as though some kind of force field existed between the water and the land. "It's going to be a scorching hot day. What about I get you fruit, yogurt, and toast for your breakfast? A chicken, goat cheese, and pomegranate salad for lunch? And then what about sirloin steak and a watercress sauce for dinner?" I was pretty much suggesting my favorite foods. A beat of silence passed as I waited for a response. He might think I was being too pushy and get irritated. Some men, I found it was the less confident ones, would react badly to a stewardess trying to steer them in one direction or another.
"I think that sounds like you just read my mind and described my favorite foods."
I wanted to tell him they were mine, but that was probably too familiar. "Reading minds is part of the package," I replied, trying not to show how delighted I was at his reaction. The corner of his mouth curled up, and I wondered if he'd be a good kisser.
"Good to know. I might have a use for that kind of skill."
He paused, almost as if he was going to say something, but then pulled his laptop back onto his knee as I mentally high-fived myself at getting this guy to engage a little, to loosen up. He stopped typing.
"And actually, if you can throw in some cob somewhere, that would work."
"No problem." I was about to walk away, but I wanted more for Neil than just today's menu, and it was my job to ensure Hayden Wolf had what he wanted. "I guess in your business, you like working with people who want to give their best, people who give 100% and are great at what they do?" Hayden looked up from his laptop, frowning. "Well, the crew want to do the same for you, and our mind-reading ability only goes so far. We want to give you our absolute best. Neil is a fantastic chef. This boat has amazing facilities, jet skis, a pool area that we can set up in the ocean that safeguards against jellyfish. We even have an inflatable banana." I paused. "Although,
that might not be your thing. It was difficult to imagine Hayden Wolf doing anything just for fun, but I was sure he'd go to his grave without sitting astride an inflatable banana. We're here to give 100%, and we like what we do. I know you are incredibly busy, but if you could give some thought to your preferences sheet, maybe it will provide you with a little light relief between phone calls. I set down a blank form I'd printed off in the wheelhouse earlier. This is an unusual charter for us. Just one guest, 8 weeks. I shrugged. We would be really grateful for a bit of direction. He didn't say anything, but continued to look at me with his dark blue eyes after I finished speaking.
I'll take a look,
he replied eventually. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on,
I'll take a look.
He was done talking. Thank you. I headed back to the main salon. It wasn't a promise, but maybe he'd come up with something, and at least I had today's menu for Neil.
Avery.
I turned back to face him. He didn't look up from his laptop.
I'd like to deal with you as much as possible. Exclusively, in fact.
I didn't let my smile drop as heat stirred in my belly. He wanted more time with me? Or did he not like Skylar and August?
It might make things easier. I don't want to have to fend off small talk from other crew.
I nodded. Of course that was it. It wasn't personal, just that I was more senior and better able to swallow the 1,000 questions I wanted to ask him. How had he made his money so young? What had he done to create enemies? What was his family like? Did he have a wife? I could hold back. I'd make sure I did. But I wasn't so sure about August, so his request made sense. I hoped it at least meant he thought I was good at my job. No problem, I replied. I need to clean your room, if that's okay. Hayden exhaled, then swung his legs over the lounger and stood.
I'd like to be there, if that's all right.
The last thing I wanted was supervision while I turned his room, but I never said no to a guest. Okay, but I don't have to do it now if you want to drink your coffee.
That's okay. I'll fit in around you.
He slid his hands through his almost curly hair.
I can work downstairs as easily as I can up here.
Nothing about this charter made sense. He must understand that I was meant to fit around him, not the other way around. But I couldn't fight him on this at every turn, so I decided I would just take his offer at face value. Careful, I might hand you a mop, I teased, leading the way back into the interior. He chuckled, but didn't say anything. Once in the bedroom, he opened his laptop and settled at the small table under the window. I set to work. I'd never felt so much like the help as I did as Hayden Wolf worked while I cleaned. Ordinarily, I didn't mind being the maid of the rich and famous. The guests all seemed to merge into one, and I was able to separate who I was from the job I was doing. Maybe it was because Hayden was here alone, or maybe it was because he wasn't that much older than me, but the distance between Hayden and me didn't feel as vast as it did with other guests, and I didn't want him to see me as a stewardess. I wanted him to see the person beyond the uniform as a woman who could have gone to college and done so much more than clean his room and change his bedding. I kept glancing across as Hayden remained laser-focused on his laptop, occasionally frowning or shaking his head. Perhaps I could assist him in some way? It wasn't as if he'd brought a personal assistant on board, which wasn't unusual, although they normally stayed on shore somewhere rather than on the yacht.
How long do you think you'll be?
He asked without looking up. Shit, had he seen me staring in his peripheral vision? I snapped into action, pulling the sheets from the bed. I'll be as quick as possible, but you really don't need to babysit me. I'm trustworthy.
Yeah?
He asked, turning to look at me. The intensity of his eyes sent a shiver down my spine. Honestly, I said. Again he looked at me, opened his mouth and went to speak before shaking his head and grabbing his computer.
I'll be next door,
he said, and swept past me, that earthy masculine scent following him. It was probably for the best. The less time I spent in close proximity to this man, the better. Normally I played along when guests told me more than they ever should about their personal business, everything from sexual exploits to dreams for the future. I'd nod, smile, and feign interest, but I'd never be tempted to ask for more detail. It wasn't my business, and I'd never been particularly interested, always focused on the job and the service I was providing rather than the people I was providing it to. With Hayden Wolf, I found myself having to hold back from following him into the office and asking him 1,000 questions. That desire couldn't just be his muscular arms and searching eyes. I'd never been taken in by just the physical before. But with Hayden, it seemed as though there was more to him. His family, his drive, the way he looked at me. Yes, it was better that he left me on my own. I'd be able to focus on getting his room fixed, rather than the man I was fixing it for.
Chapter 8. Hayden. Despite the heat and the rocking of the yacht, I couldn't sleep. My plan had been to spend all night in the office working with advisors based in New York, who I'd selected because they had no public connection to Cannon. Then I'd thought I'd sleep in the day on deck. Working all night was fine. Sleeping all day wasn't. Especially not today. I was due to hear from the lawyers, and I didn't trust Wi-Fi. So I was having to go old school and have everything couriered to the boat in hard copy or on USB sticks. I checked my watch, noting it was about 30 minutes since I'd seen Avery Walker. Right on cue, the main salon doors swished open. When she'd been cleaning my room, I'd found her so distracting that I'd had to leave the room. I'd been mesmerized by the way her hands gripped the bed linen and found myself fantasizing about pushing her onto the bed and my shoving her skirt up to her waist.
"Anything I can get you?"
Avery asked as she came out onto the main deck. She made it sound as if she'd just happened to be passing by, but I'd been watching. She was always passing by every 20 to 30 minutes, catering to my every need. Her ponytail swished behind her as she came to a stop by my lounger. How would that ponytail feel wrapped around my hand? I cleared my throat as I shook the fantasy of her out of my head. Yes, actually. 9 times out of 10 there was nothing I wanted from her, but it was just coming up to noon and I needed her help. She had an almost permanent smile on her face, but it pulled a little wider, as if my asking for her help was what she wanted more than anything. That was bloody attractive.
What can I get you?
Well, first, I want to give you this, I said, pulling out the preferences sheet from beneath my laptop. She sank her teeth into her full bottom lip as she took the sheet from me and began to scan the papers I'd scrawled over.
This is really nice of you.
It had taken some bollocks for her to ask me to fill this sheet in yesterday. She'd been trying to make her cruise life easier, and my stay more enjoyable. But it would have been easier, less confrontational, to have just stayed quiet. From our tour, I could tell she was good at her job, but I hadn't quite realized the care and compassion she had for her work and her colleagues. And I enjoyed that she'd called me out, and in such a charming way. She was all politeness on the outside, but hinted at her core of steel. I had thought I was being helpful by not caring one way or another about the preferences sheet, but subtly she told me I was being anything but, and that I had to let her and her crew do their jobs. She'd been confident and clear, and my sheer admiration of her and the way I'd been handled meant I had to reward her, and if I couldn't fuck her, I could do what she'd asked and fill out the sheet. No inflatable banana, I said, not being able to suppress a smile. She giggled and heat grew in my belly. She had a beautiful laugh.
I thought you might skip that one.
I don't avoid all fun, if that's what you think, but that's a little too much. Why did I care if she thought I didn't like to have fun? I was here to work. She nodded, smiling.
By the end of the trip, you never know what I might have talked you into.
I raised my eyebrows. I was beginning to think she could persuade me to do a number of things that were against my own best judgment. I cleared my throat, trying to regain my focus. I'd like you to go ashore and collect a package for me.
Excuse me, sir?
Shit, her calling me sir shouldn't be as arousing as I found it. Please, it's Hayden. I shifted, sitting up on my lounger, trying to distract my dick. There's a patisserie on Lotissement Chateau Martin. I'd like you to pick up a cake. A smile faded from her eyes, but her full lips stayed in place.
No problem, she said.
I pulled out a scrap of paper, where I'd written down the name and address of the patisserie while on the phone to the lawyers last night. It's only a short walk from the marina. I beckoned her forward and she stepped toward me, closer than we'd been before. My face was level with her pussy, and my eyes flickered up over her breasts to her face. Shit. Shit. I stood abruptly and she took half a step away. I had to hold myself back from snaking an arm around her waist and pulling her against me. I didn't know this woman. What was wrong with me? Please be there no later than 2. Someone will meet you and give you an envelope with some documents in it.
I think I should speak to Captain Mars. I mean...
It will be nothing but legal documents in the envelope, along with a USB drive. I just don't want to send or receive anything electronically. She nodded.
I understand, but I should just mention it to Captain Mars. It's protocol if we're picking up something from the shore.
Do you have a concern about my request?
I just need to run it by.
Tell me your concerns, or what the captain's concerns might be, and perhaps I can allay them. I'm going to be very disappointed if I can't get a simple package delivered to me here. With no Wi-Fi, I'm having to rely much more on hard copy documents.
I understand, and I'm sure it won't be a problem. Leave it with me.
Avery wasn't being unreasonable. I was irritated because the documents I wanted her to collect were important, and I wanted her to know that I wouldn't be asking her to do anything that wasn't legitimate. Just make sure you put the envelope in your handbag, so no one outside sees you carrying it, and walk out with the pastry. She took a breath as if she were going to speak. I understood why she wanted to question me, but I really had nothing to hide. She was trying to walk the tightrope between her duty to the captain and her duty to me, and completely irrationally, I wanted her to trust me, to know that I wouldn't do anything to compromise her, to want to do anything I asked. I pushed my hands in my pockets to stop myself from reaching for her and providing her with some kind of physical reassurance. Honestly, it's just legal papers that I have to read. You can trust me. She could trust me. She was smart to be cautious, but she didn't need to be cautious of me.
Okay. She checked her watch. I'll have to leave soon. Eric will have to take me, though. Can I tell Eric, or am I pretending to buy you a cake?
I smiled at her desire to do the right thing by me. Was it because it was me, or because I was a guest? Obviously, it was because I was a guest. One of hundreds she'd fulfilled requests for during her career. You're just collecting some documents for me. This isn't Mission Impossible. She glanced down at the piece of paper I'd given her.
I'd better get going then.
She turned to leave, but I reached out and caught her arm. She gasped, and the sound sent a jolt of lust right to my cock. A gaze slid from where we were joined to my eyes. She pressed her lips together, as if she were stopping herself from saying something. I blinked, trying to fight off the attraction I was feeling. Thank you, I said. She nodded, then headed back through the sliding doors. I'd gotten used to her easy smile and professionalism far too quickly, felt comfortable with her far too easily. It was inexplicable. I was in a state where I was suspicious of everyone, questioning everything. Yet as Avery Walker disappeared, I imagined smoothing my palm down her naked back and whispering all my secrets to her.
Chapter 9. Avery. The wind cooled my warm cheeks as the tender headed toward the coast. I sat in the back while Eric steered, trying to calm my racing pulse. I turned to see Hayden Wolf leaning on the railings of the main deck, facing in this direction. Was he watching me? When he'd grasped my arm earlier, had he meant to? Was it concern? Thanks, or something else he was trying to convey with his touch.
Perhaps it was because he was the only guest, and I was the only person he spoke to on board, but I'd begun to feel an affinity, something more than physical attraction, a pull toward him. I wanted to help. I turned back to face the shore. As Mr. Wolf had predicted, Eric didn't question me further when I said I had to pick up some documents from the shore, even though I'd made up some elaborate story in my head. I guess we'd all seen far wilder requests from guests.
"Do you want me to come with you?"
Eric asked as he steered us into the marina. I took his hand as I stepped off the boat. "No, you stay with the tender. I won't be long."
"You don't even have your phone with you. You know the way?"
My French was basic, but good enough to ask for directions if I got lost. "I'll be fine. If I'm not back in an hour, send out a search party." At the end of the jetty, a paparazzo with a camera hanging around his neck leaned against the railing. It was a little early in the season for celebrity sightings, but there was always the odd exception.
"Hey, beautiful,"
he called over with a British accent. I smiled and kept walking. Without the breeze from being at sea, the temperature had notched up. I wanted a long, cold drink, and maybe a pool.
"You work on the yachts?"
he asked, following me. I ignored him and headed up the street, the yachts on my right, surrounded by tourists trying to peer inside to a world inhabited by the rich and famous. A hodgepodge of different buildings screened the other side of the road in chalky pinks and yellows, housing restaurants and ice cream bars sheltering from the heat under awnings. The photographer followed.
"Hey, you shy? Don't speak English."
During high season, it wasn't unusual to be approached by paparazzi asking who was staying on which yacht. Sometimes they even offered a little money in exchange for information, but they were easy to ignore. "I'm just trying to enjoy a few hours off."
"So you are yacht crew. I knew it."
He punched the air as if it was some huge victory. Maybe this guy was new.
"Anyone interesting on board?"
"Nope," I replied. I was pretty sure a picture of Hayden Wolf wasn't going to earn this guy any money.
"Not Leonardo DiCaprio or J-Lo."
"Sorry to disappoint you," I said, seeing the road split off in two and the promise of a restaurant table with shade farther up.
"Give you $100 if you tell me who's on your boat."
I stopped and turned to him. Like $100 was incentive for anything. It wouldn't even cover a single physical therapy session. These peps needed to understand that the tip was a much bigger incentive to keep quiet. "No one you would be interested in, but I did hear that man-child Leonardo is going to be a niece later in the season." I hadn't heard anything about Leonardo DiCaprio that I hadn't read on page 6. But maybe if I gave this guy something, he'd beat it.
"What if I gave you $200?
This photographer wasn't getting it. I just shook my head and started to walk again. This time he didn't follow me, and I headed into the back streets, away from the chatter, laughter, and popping champagne corks of the busy waterfront. Hayden had said I needed to be at the patisserie by 2, so I still had some time to call my dad. Glancing around, I spotted a public telephone kiosk up the street. I grinned at the thought that I could unload a little, be the girl from Sacramento who had her whole life in front of her, instead of the woman who was looking after her family by yachting in Saint-Tropez. "Daddy, it's me," I said when he answered, excited to get to talk to him away from everything.
"Hey, kiddo, we were just talking about you."
"I wish I were there," I said. "I miss you guys."
"Well, you not being around means Michael and I get complete control over the television, watch sports all day, and eat what we like. Isn't that right?"
I grinned as Michael yelled abuse in the background. "You miss me, you know you do."
"Of course we do. What are you up to? Been peeling grapes for your guests?"
I laughed. "Not today." Hayden had still been in his office when I got on shift at 7 this morning, which meant he'd worked all night. Grapes were the last thing on his mind.
"Guests aren't being too handsy, are they?"
Early on in my career, I'd made the mistake of giving my dad too many details about the things guests got up to. Now he worried. "Not at all," I said, trying to reassure my dad, though I thought back to Hayden touching my arm. It hadn't been disrespectful, just familiar. The fact it caused my body to heat and shudder was my problem. Hayden hadn't been out of line. "I'm running some errands for the client."
"Always busy running around after everyone else. You need someone to wait on you for a while. Treat yourself."
"You don't need to worry about me. I liked to be busy."
I know you've told me it's difficult to date on yachts, but maybe you could find another way to think about yourself. Carve out a life for yourself. You're a generous girl, and I worry you're giving up too much of yourself.
I rolled my lips together, trying to block out what my dad was saying. You know that I want to take care of Michael,
and we both appreciate it, but it isn't the only thing you should be doing. You have your own life to lead as well.
Was I just becoming a vessel for other people's needs and desires? Was I not my own person anymore? It was true that yachting had supplanted any ambitions I'd had before Michael's accident, but that didn't mean I didn't want to take time for myself. I just didn't have many opportunities. I guess I could take up knitting. I'm in the south of France. How bad could life be?
Well, as long as you're taking time to do what you want to do, it's okay to be selfish here and there. It's okay to enjoy yourself.
I'd not been particularly adventurous since I started yachting. Most of the crew I'd worked with spent time at the end of each season exploring and getting to know the country they'd been sailing around. I'd always wanted to get back home. Okay, Dad, look, I've got to go. I was nearly out of minutes, and I didn't have long until I had to get to the patisserie. Tell Michael I love him, and go easy on the pizza, you hear me?
Love you, honey.
Love you, Daddy. I hung up, and as I headed to the address Hayden had given me, I tried to remember the last time I'd done something selfish or reckless. I could drink tequila with the best of them. It wasn't like I was afraid of fun, but it always took place within very carefully drawn parameters. I'd always wanted to spend more time in Italy, so maybe I'd take a few days at the end of this season and be a tourist instead of going right back to Sacramento. I'd at least think about it, even if it was just for a day or two. I reached the patisserie so quickly I was almost disappointed. It was a large shop with glass counters running around two sides, with a dozen tables and chairs for people who wanted to enjoy their pastry on site. I scanned the customers, but didn't see anyone with a brown envelope or who looked like a lawyer. Hayden had told me that his contact would find me, so I focused on the rows of desserts, so many that I couldn't imagine how many customers the shop got each day. There were big cakes and individual cakes. Some had fruit, lots had cream, and all varied in color and shape. I should remember this place for my next charter. It would be a good place to send guests who'd never been to France before. Hell, it would be a good place to bring August and Skylar after this charter finished. We could eat cake for breakfast and move on to the bar for lunch. Bonjour, one of the servers behind the counter said. Can I help you? I was always slightly depressed when I was in a foreign country and they realized I wasn't a native. I guess with my polo shirt and khaki skirt, it was clear I was a yacht worker. I'd like a Gâteau Saint-Honoré, I replied. I'd only had one once, but it had been beyond the most delicious thing I'd ever eaten. Do you have them? Bien, sir. Large or small? Two large, please. I followed the assistant along the counter as she made her way toward the section with the large cakes. She pulled the tray toward her and chose two towers of profiteroles, caramel and cream. It might just be the best thing I'd ever laid eyes on in my life. I should order 10. Miss Walker? A quiet voice asked from behind me. I snapped my head around to find a petite girl with mousy brown hair clutching a brown envelope. Yes, this is for you, she said, lifting her chin at the brown envelope in her arms. I glanced back at the assistant, who was busying herself making up a box for the cream concoctions I'd just ordered. I unhooked one of the handles of my tote off my arm. Thanks, I said. She glanced around and then slipped the thick envelope into my bag and scurried out the door. Jesus, the girl looked as guilty as hell. Loaded with cake and more questions, I headed back to the tender.
You got it?
Eric asked as I handed him the two boxes before climbing back aboard. Sure did, and a treat for us as well. He smiled.
It's weird that documents are the first thing this guy requests. I mean, usually it's the wine with this type of guest.
He's a workaholic. I shrugged, then took a seat at the back of the boat.
I've offered to get out the toys a couple of times, but he's always said no. I guess it's weird going down the water slide on your own.
He untied the line and cast off. I think he just wants to kick back, relax, and work uninterrupted. I'm sure you've had worse guests. I know I have. This charter was unusual, but it wasn't difficult.
I guess. I just wish he wasn't here for 8 weeks.
If nothing else, I'm going to get a little bored, especially without my computer.